We start at the bottom of Lamed Bet, Lamed Bet. It's four lines up by the story of Rav Bar Shoshum. So Rav Bar Shoshum, Nafaka Alei Kala, the Kachel Achil Aradiyatme. So already rumors had begun to circulate that he was stealing or taking away property that belonged to the Yitomim, right, to these orphans. So Amalei Abaye, so Abaye approached him, Emily Izi, Gufu de Uvdehe Chava. He says, you know, easy, an endearing term for, you know, Talmud Chacham. Tell me, son, what really happened? So Amalei, he said this. He says, Ara b'shkonta habanikita mi'avuhon diatme. I had this property from the father of the Yitomim, right, from the, before his death. I had this as a mashkon, but a mashkonta de sura. Right, mashkonta de sura is where you keep it for a certain number of years, and then it automatically reverts back to the owner. So I had it for that. V'habali zuzi achrina gabe. I had another outstanding loan, right, that I didn't have collateral for. I had another outstanding loan to their father. V'chalte shnei mashkanta. So then I ate it for the years I was entitled to based on the mashkon. I mean, the mashkon expired, and now the land should have gone back to the father and now to the Yitomim. And I said, Amina, ima hadrana la arali atme, if I give the land back to the Yitomim, and then I say, listen, you have another loan outstanding. I have more money that you owe me. So what's going to happen? Amur Rabbanan, we know the Rabbanan say when it comes to collecting a loan from Yitomim, that you want to, if you want to come and make a collection, you cannot collect ela bishvua. You must take a shvua in order to collect it. And that's what seems to be the, for him, right? The holdup over here is that he didn't want to have to take the shvua. He wanted to avoid having to take a shvua. So he says, listen, I have a better idea. Ela, ach vishay lishtar mashkanta. What I'll do is, I'll hide the shtar mashkanta, meaning that I will not allow it to come out. Va'ochla shir zuzay. And then I'll continue to keep the property beyond the time or the expiration of the shtar mashkanta. And then I will get my money paid back because I'll eat it another year or two and that'll pay me back the money he owes me. Demigo, because I have a migo. What's the migo? Di'i bi'ina amina l'kucha hi bi'adi. I could say that I purchased it. Since I could say I purchased it, mehamna, I would be believed. So too over here, when I say that I'm keeping it for the purpose of paying back the residual loan, I should be believed. Because I could have kept the land entirely and just said that I had purchased it. So Abaye says, listen, Rabbi says that would be nice, except you really don't have amigo. Why? Amalei, l'kucha biyodi lo matzit amart. You can't say l'kucha hi biyodi. You know why? Da ika ala kala da aradiyat mehi. There's already a rumor that it belongs to the Yitomim. So you wouldn't have the right to say l'kucha hi biyodi because it's already known that it's not your property. And you would never be able to make such a claim. Ela, zil ahadra nihalayu. Go back and give it back to the Yitomim. V'chi gada yatme. And then when the Yitomim grow up, ishtayi dina ba'adayu, then you'll be able to go and come back to court and deal with them. Because as ketanim, you can't deal with them. That is a machlokas Rav Huna and Rav Papa, why you can't deal with itomim ketanim. Right? Rav Huna says because we're afraid of what's called sararei. We're afraid that his father already gave them money, and we have no way to protect whether they give money. So we say wait till the itomim are older, and then you'll have to go to din and figure out and take a shvua that you didn't have the money. And number two, or the other possibility, is Rav Papa says that priyat b'chov of a father is not an obligation, it's not a chiyuv, but a mitzvah. And yitomim ketanim are not avid b'nei mitzvah, right? They're not b'nei mitzvah. And therefore only, right, once they grow up, do they become avid b'nei mitzvah, and then you could be yishtai din ba'adayu. It's clear that from our sugya over here, that the case that Rav Baruch Hashem is holding like Rav Huna, right, because the issue that he has is simply that he doesn't want to take a shvua, not that he has to wait until they grow up, right, and hold it, because if it was the case that he had to wait until they grow up because they were not b'nei mitzvah, then he would never have been able to make this migo now, because he said he would have no right to the property whatsoever, because they're not obligated to pay him. So the only way it could work is if you believe they're obligated to pay him, just there's a technical problem of tzarei that he has to wait. That's one. Now, the other thing is there's machlokes, the Rashbam, and the Tosfos had to read the Gemara. He read it somewhat like the Rashbam. The Rashbam makes an interesting statement here. The Gemara says that the reason Abayi says that you can't claim that it's purchased is because there's kala, right? That yatme, that it's there's already a rumor out there, voices have been heard, right? That this land does not belong to you. When the Rashbam quotes it in the Rashbam here of Amarle, he says the ha ika kala ve'edut da'ar diyatmehu. He adds in the word edut. He doesn't say it's just a rumor, but he says that there's also evidence. I mean, they're witnesses to the fact that this is not your property. So that's the position of the Rashbam. Rashbam is that we don't have a problem, you know, meaning in terms of karkaot, right, when it comes to, I should be believed that I don't have to take a shavua here because in yishbayin al karkaot, and I have a cheskat shlosha shanim that goes in place of shlosha shanim instead of the shtar, I should be believed over here. And Abayi comes back to him and says, no, you can't be believed because your migo is not a migo. Because we have full-fledged evidence that it belongs to the Yitomim. If you have full-fledged evidence that it belongs to the Yitomim, you don't have a migo. You couldn't make the claim, l'kucha hi biadi. Therefore, you only have one claim. What's your only claim? Right? That they owe me money. That's not a migo. There's no reason to believe you in that instance, and you don't have a migo. That's the way the Rashbam learns. Tosfos says,
according to the Rashbam, if it wasn't an edut.
Right, I don't know. He adds the word edut that is not found in the Gemara, and right, it sounds like from the Rashbam that the edut is part of the fact that we have certain that it belongs to you rather than simply the kala. Tosfos says that the important part of Tosfos, if you look in Tosfos, ach rushay l'shtar mashkanta v'ochla shir zuzay. That top of the Tosfos says dafka mishum to kovash l'shtar mashkanta matzah demeim alakuchel hi biadi. Only because he subverted the shtar, he doesn't allow the shtar to become known or surface. That's why he's allowed to say l'kuchla biyadi. D'lo haya yadua b'torat mashkanta ataliyadei. So Tosfos says, as opposed to the Rashbam, who says that it is known that it was taken b'torat mashkanta, it just wasn't known that necessarily he didn't buy it from him, and that's what gives him the opportunity to say it, and then a buyer comes back and says, no, everybody knows it's not yours. Tosfos says that nobody knows that he has a b'torat mashkanta. That there is no evidence, there's no rumors that are circulating that he doesn't own this property. So now,
what's the
migo now, and what's the kol? So now the migo is that he goes ahead and he says, listen, I could have said it was born in my head. Nobody knows anything else. If I don't show the shtar, I can keep it. Then Shaul asks, okay, well then what's a buyer's response that everybody knows it's not l'kucha hi biyodi? So now he says, look at, this is an unbelievable Tosfos and very important view of Migo according to Tosfos. The Tosfos of L'kucha Hibiyodi. Afagam dihava mar L'kucha Hibiyodi have a neman. Had he said L'kucha Hibiyodi, he would have been believed. Mimoko makom lo havi Migo. It's not a Migo. Why? V'hachi perusho. Delo matzit amart lo haiti yachola iz panecha v'lo marken came into nafa kala ve'in kan Migo. So he says, Tosfos says that a person, when it comes to amigo works because I could have made the other claim. I would make this claim and I could have made the other claim. Tosfos says we only say that where the other claim is something that you would have felt comfortable to say and then something that doesn't have any other mitigating factor. First of all, it's that you would be, you know, upset. You wouldn't be so brazen. Like he's panecha. It's mine, because there's some sort of call out there, there's something that would prevent you from doing this. Now, Tosfos says, if you do make the actual claim, if you said the kucha hibiyadi, it would have been a valid claim, and you'd be fine. But we won't say for you, or on your behalf, the kucha hibiyadi, meaning that we won't allow a migo to take place when there is some questions about that type of claim. If the claim is made by you, fine. But if you don't make the claim, and you say, I should be believed because I could have made that claim, we say, no. The reason you didn't make that claim is because it was too risky, or there was some other mitigating factor that didn't allow you to make that claim, and therefore it's not a proof that what you said is now true. In between this, Tosfos raises one other issue, is that, why does l'kucha hi biyodi help you at all? Even if he says l'kucha hi biyodi, he still has to take a shvuat hasit. In that, if he says l'kucha hi biyadi, so fine. He doesn't have to take a shvuah before, I mean, if say you told me. But nevertheless, and we say, like the Rashi says, "En nishbaim al karkaot," so we don't take shvuot on karkaot. That's only true when it comes to shvuot deoraita. When it comes to shvuot derabanan, they apply. We even put them on karkaot, right? We do require them to make a shvuot hasetir here. So what is his gain by saying lekucha hibiyadi? If he's trying to avoid a shvuah, right? So now he's stuck with a, you know, he had before had a shvuah, right? It's also a shvuah derabanan, but now he has to take a shvuah tesait. What does that help him? Tosfos answers, this is something we've seen in Tosfos and other places, that a shvuah tesait only applies when there's a tanat bari. That you only take a shvuah tesait when there's a full-fledged clear claim against you on the other side. And that's what the problem. Hocha, there's no tanat bari here. Because the Yitomim don't know for sure that the karka was not purchased. We claim on their behalf, clear this up, make sure that you didn't take it from their father. But if the Yitomim would come with the Tana Bari and Achanami, you'd have to take a Shuvat HaSeit, but they can't. It's impossible for them to come to Tana Bari, and therefore he wouldn't have to take a Shuvat HaSeit here. And that's why he wanted to move it, right, to the venue of Karka, of quote-unquote Shuvat HaSeit, where he wouldn't have to take it, because there he won't take a Shuvat. Supposed to, if he goes and outright asks for the money, then he'll have to take Shuvat, Liparami Nechsei Yitomim. Right now, next case in the Gemara, Kreve Rav Idi Ba'avin Shochiv V'Shovel Dikla. One of Rav Idi Ba'avin's relatives died, and he left over a palm tree. According to this Girsa, it was just that he left a palm tree, he had no children. And now you have to figure out who's the closest relative to inherit this palm tree. The other possibility is that he had children, and that he left his palm tree with Kreve to his relative. So they have to figure out what's the word Kreve mean? That's the other Girsa here. Rav Idi Ba'avin Amar Ana Karivna Tfei says, I'm the closest relative. I'm entitled to this palm tree, this dekel. Ba'u Gavra, another individual shows up. Amar Ana Karivna Tfei, I am the closest relative. So then it seems to be that this individual was in possession of the property because he took it. And we know that when it comes to Safek, Kodu Alam Gavir, so here he took possession of the property and he ate it. This other person says, I was the closest relative, and he eats the fruits, he stays in the land. Then Pitomi wakes up one day and he says, Usof Odile Diu Karif Tve. Wakes up one day and he says, you know what, you're right, Rav Idi. You really are the closer relative. So now, who does the land belong to? Or who does the dekel belong to? It belongs to Rav Idi. So now, Ukmar Rav Chista Biyadei. So Rav Chista says, okay, let's give the land to Rav Idi, the rightful owner over here. So Amalei, so Rav Idi says, listen, if he had to give me the land back, he's admitting that it's my land because I was the closest relative. Bahadile Peri Dachal. Mehal Yomad Hashto. Why doesn't he should pay me back all the fruits he ate. He wrongly possessed the property. If he's wrongly in possession of the property, he should pay me the fruits that he ate as well, because they were my fruits. So Amar Zehu Shomrim Alav Adam Kodohu. So Chista says, almost as a little tochcha to Rav Idi, this is who we say there's an Adam Godol about you. Aman Kosomich Mar. Who are you relying on right now? Ahai. Meaning that how do you know that this individual, how do you know that you're the closest relative? What's the evidence that you're the closest relative? Because he admitted it. So you're relying on him. Hakamar, he said, Da'ana mikarav notvei. Until this point in time, he said he was a closer relative. So now when he comes to admit it, right, it's only now and going forward that he is classified, that he admits that you're a closer relative. But before this point in time, he was claiming, or he has a claim that he was the closest relative. So based on that, he keeps the fruits, you get the land from now. Now what this has to do with is a major understanding of what Hodat Baldin Kimea Edim Dami. This over here is Hodat Baldin. The party here admits, now what? He admits that the property should belong to Rav Idi because Rav Idi is a closer relative. When you are Moder, or you have Hodat Baldin, why does it work? Why are you believed? Why is Hodat Baldin Kimea Idim Dami? Right, so there are a number of possibilities of how it works. The one is, first of all, that why don't we believe an individual? It's because we're choshesh l'sheker. We're choshesh that you're going to lie. Right, people, they're nogea b'davar, so they're going to lie. Now, when you have Hodat Baldin, is that you're doing something that is to your detriment. When it's your detriment, do we worry that you're going to lie? The answer is no. Right? Because lying, we worry when you're going to lie is when it's to your benefit. But to your detriment, we no longer have the chashash sheker. If you don't have a chashash sheker, then we say that you're believed because Hodat Baldin should have standing. That's one possibility of how to understand Hodat Baldin. And over there, you'd be believed because you have nemanut now. You'd actually believe. You would change. The facts on the ground would change because of what you are saying. Now, many believe that that's not the case because the fact that that a person can't testify on his own behalf is a gzerasakotu. And you can't change the fact that even when it's to your detriment, you can't make that claim. The other possibility is that you're neman and amigo. Right? Which is that since you could have given the item to this individual as a present at this point in time, the fact that you admit that it belongs to this other individual gives you amigo that you should be believed. So the amigo is, even if it was yours, you could hand it to him as a gift. So instead you say it really was his all along. So there, that's the other possibility of why you're neman as a baldin.
So how does that help you?
No, but you're neman. Hodat baldin, that was neman. Now why did it help you? Both of those first two cases, or the first two explanations, it helps you because they change the facts on the ground, which means that you are believed, lagamre. You know, we believe what you're saying. If we believe what you're saying.
And if we believe what you're saying, what are you saying?
That I'm not the closest relative in this case. That I'm not the closest relative in this case. So you should lose the payroll. You should lose everything.
Right.
Correct. So that cannot be the explanation, and that's what we're going to see now. The other possibilities, and that's what we're going to see exactly in a second, is in the Rashi. So far what we've said is, everything so far has been what we call the Beirur. These are, you're believed, and you're really believed, so that the facts change on the ground. The other possibility, which we've said in all these cases, is that it's a Hachra. It's a way of getting to a Psak Halacha. And what does that mean? That the Hodat Baldin is Kamei Yaitim is because it's like a Matana. It's a gift, or you're Mechayev yourself to give a gift. So if you mechayev yourself to give a gift, right, that starts from now forward. That is a forward-looking statement. It's not that you are changing the facts on the ground. All you're doing is you're saying now that I am creating a tchayvut on myself to act based on what I am saying. And Bezim will be machriya based on your statement here as a matana. So that the Nod Yehuda, the Ksos HaChoshen present like an idea like that. The other possibility is that it's what the Shimon Akeri puts out, which is Shavi Nafshei Chaticha Desura, is that you've made it a sur to yourself to engage in this item. You basically said, I cannot be engaged with this item, and therefore you have to remove yourself from the item. And the last one is, the last possibility, which is Rashi and Kedushin suggests something like this, and I think the Ksos HaChoshen leans in this direction, which is that Gzer Sakotuv. Because it says, right, Asher Yavod, Hashem Kihuzeh, right, that comes before. And there we say that Kihuzeh means that you, Modeh, that you admit. So when you admit, right, then there's a concept that you're believed. But according to those last three explanations, right, the issue is not that you are changing the truth on the ground. All you're doing is giving a chra, that the decision this way forward, you is that you have to give the property over. Now, if you look in the Rashbam, that's exactly what the Rashbam does. Look at the last Rashbam, Mahai. So he says, Audat piv shemodeach shav shata korov yoter. Right, that you admit now that you are a closer relative. V'hal yuwa damar ad hashtana kariv natvei. And until this point in time, he said he was a closer relative. V'achal pareot bedin kol dalim gover. And he ate the pareot because he was the stronger one, right? He took possession of the property. V'zeh shemodeach shav harihu notein lecha et eilan midato. When he gives it to you now, it's as if he's giving it of his own volition. It's a matana. It's a chitchayvut. So like Shaul said before, if you think the explanation of Hodat Baldin has to do with you're telling the truth because of either we believe you because there's no sheker or because you're neman b'migo, then the Rashbam can't say what he's saying over here. Right. From now, going forward, right? It's clear that that's what the Rashbam is saying, is that it's a mikana lahaba. And it's a psak halacha that he's mitchayev himself to give you the object from here going forward. But that does not change the facts. It does not make you a closer relative. It does not say that you are the closer relative. All it says is that I'm now handing you this item. And because of that, the Rashbam says, that's got to be, right, the explanation of Hodat Baldin, because otherwise I can't understand why his admission only works, Mikana Laba. Why doesn't it go to Mafreya? It has to be that he's not changing the facts on the ground. Tosfos obviously doesn't like this. Tosfos asks, I don't understand, how does this work here? I don't understand Rav Chista's position. In a second, we're going to see that there's a Bayin Rova. Bayin Rova said, Lo Sevir Lohu Ad Rav Chista. Bayin Rova said, we don't hold a Rav Chista's position. Why? Kevan Odi. Since he had made an admission, he admitted it. So now, according to the Rashbam, you can explain that obviously the difference between them is how they view Hodat Baldin. Right? Meaning that the Rashbam, Rav Chista views his Hodat Baldin as being a Hachra, as being a Matan or a Tchaivut, and therefore he says the facts on the ground don't change. If the facts on the ground don't change, then it's only Mikana Laba. Whereas Abaye Rova come along and say, no, Bahamodile. He admitted it. Once he admits it, it's as if, again, he's getting nemanut. He's changed the status. He's saying, I'm not the closer relative. He says, I'm not the closer relative. That affects the facts on the ground. That affects the mitziyut. And that would be the machlokus between them. Tosa says, it's hard for me to understand, right, how to explain the Gemara over here. If you look in the Tosos Hachi Garcina, he says, V'lo garis iu karov tvei, aloya rotze lachlok im Rav Idi, v'natan lo adekel b'chinam. He didn't want to argue with Rav Idi, so he gave him the dekel. V'lo b'shvila shia karov yoter. Not because he thought he was a closer relative. U'mshum ochi kamar Rav Chisda iu damar anak rivna tvei. Shimir tzono natan lecha. He gave it out of his own volition to you. V'lo b'shvila shia karov yoter. Not because you're a closer relative, but rather simply he wanted to be nice to you, Rav Idi. Rabbi Rav Sarver came to Odi Odi. The only reason he would have given over it is because he thought you were closer relatives. And thus it says, Lashon Odi Dachoku. That Lashon of Odi that he admits over here, it doesn't seem to fit the billing. And V'chein Tzvarat Rabbi Rav seem to make so much sense. V'chein Lefarish Hakasin and Iu Karov Tvei. And don't explain it that the Gersi is.
I like Tosfos' approach a lot better because Tosfos is very, very hard for me to understand the roundabout interpretation of as meaning that it's just not right. I mean,
Tosus agrees with you, and Tosus is going to go further in a second. First of all, Tosus didn't have a girsa, which makes it a little different. Tosus' girsa was a sof odile, period. He didn't say the sof odile, the karib netvei. That, according to Tosus, karib netvei is not in there. So he just says the sof odile. So Tosus gave the explanation. Tosus is very bothered by this, and it's clear that Tosus thinks like Shaul, which is what? That Odad Beidin Kamele Eidim Dami is a change in the facts on the ground. And therefore, he's very uncomfortable with the Rashbam's explanation that it could be Mekan Udahaba. Tosus then goes ahead and brings down a new Girsa entirely in the Gemara. And he brings the Girsa's Rabbeinu Chananel. And he says the Ri believes that the Girsa of the Rabbeinu Chananel is the right Girsa. Now, the Rashbam on the Amud Bet brings the Girsa of the Rabbeinu Chananel and says Velo Nira. He doesn't agree with the Girsa. But Tosus does like the Girsa because it gets him out of this problem which Shaul is raising. He thinks that Hodat Badilin Kamei Eidim Dami means that you are actually Ne'eman. You're actually believed. If you're actually believed, then what's Rav Chisda's position here that you only go forward? So now, the Rabbeinu Chananel explains the whole case differently. He says that all of a sudden witnesses showed up. It wasn't that he admitted, but rather witnesses show up and say that Rav Idi Bar Avin is a Karov. They didn't say Karov Tfei. They just said he's a Karov. So now we have Edim that tell us that Rav Idi Bar Avin is a Karov. And we have, the Edim said we don't know this under individual. We have no idea about him. So now, Rav Idi Bar Avin has clear evidence that he's a Karov. The other individual has no evidence that he is a Karov. So now,
no one objected that he was
So very good. So that's exactly what Tosfos says. That's what Rav Chisda is suggesting. Rav Chisda is suggesting that, now the Edim showed up. We're going to give it to you, Rav Idi Bar Avin, because now you have Edim, and he doesn't have Edim, but the Edim are not machish that the other guy is not a Karov. And we don't even know if he's Karov today, right? Right, very possibly. So therefore, he says, listen, for right now, we're going to give it to you. But to go back and take the peirot, that you can't do because you have no evidence that you really are the true owner over here, that you're really the owner. And that's what the Tosfos says is the explanation. And now, what do Abaye and Rava come along and say? Right, and the other gavra is a suffix. Ravidi Rabin's a vadai now because he has edim that he's a karov. The other individual is a suffix, so we give it to Ravidi. But Ravidi now wants the peirot because now that the other individual admitted that he ate the peirot and it's my land, because there's no way. The other guy has a migo that he can't. You don't have to pay him. Why? Because he could have said I didn't eat the fruits. He says that I could have said the other guy said I never ate any fruits. So the fact that he says he didn't eat fruits, he can be mehemen, he's believed that he said, I ate the fruits and they were my fruits. So he has amigo, and therefore we say, leave the fruits with the guy who ate them originally. So Nabai and Rava come along and say, wait a minute. If he admits that he ate the fruits, then he has to pay. There is no amigo over here, because the karka is left. The karka is leaving his hands. Once the karka is going to move into the hands of Ravidi, you don't really have an amigo over here. What's your claim? I owned it? But you don't own it. It's Ravidi Barabin's property. And if you admit that they are payrolled, then you've got to pay for them. And now, that would be the difference. If Edim actually were there, Edim that he ate the payrolled, if there were Edim that he ate the payrolled, he would have to pay them, even according to Rav Chisda. The reason Rav Chisda says he doesn't have to pay payrolled here is because there's no Edim that he ate the payrolled. So we're going to believe him when he says, they were my payrolled, and I ate them, because there was a migo, he could have said I didn't eat any payrolled. But again, if you have Edim that say he did eat the peyrot, there's no more amigo, and he'd have to pay the peyrot.
So like what I'm saying that is, look, the best you can say is they made a mirror because you thought it was yours. Now, the business has decided that it's not.
Right. You're not entitled to it anymore. Correct. So that would be the, right, that's the explanation of the Rach, all right, that that explains the Gemara totally different, but here you avoid the whole problem of Hodat Bedin Kamei Eidim Domi. You avoid that whole issue for Tosfos, which Tosfos was clearly uncomfortable with, explaining like the Rashbam, and therefore Tosfos goes with the Shita Rach, which suggests that the whole sugya is not about Ahudat Baldim, but rather about Edim coming and testifying about it being a Karov. And then it's a sugya of Migo, and then they're arguing about how the Migo functions in this case. Rav Kisa says it's a good Migo. And Abaye Rav says it's not a good Migo because you've eliminated, right, once, like the Shaul said it so nicely, once the karka's gone and based on the side it's not your karka, you can't come and say it was my fruit, my karka. It wasn't your karka. So you don't have that right anymore. So that would be the explanation according to Tosos, and he goes with this shot of the re, based on the Rach. All right, now Rashbam rejects the Rach's pshat because he says that nowhere in the case does it say that the guy was molded that he ate. Well, now according to that girsa, there is a girsa that he Edim came, but there's nowhere that it says that he admitted to eating the peyrot. I mean, the whole premise of Tosfos or the Rach is that he admitted to eating the peyrot, and that the Edim say that he ate the peyrot. He says from the sound of the flow in that girsa, it's that the Edim come, and they're the ones testifying about all the information here, and that they have Edim that he ate peyrot. Doesn't sound like he admitted that he ate peyrot. He says that's missing, and according to those, that's the Ikar, that he admitted it, and there were no Edim. And he says that Ikar chasim in a sefer, and he doesn't like that girsa. But you could see that the Rashbam and the Tosfos are arguing really about, fundamentally, how you view Hodat Baldin Kamei Edim Domi. The Rashbam who sees it as Achra is able to explain the Gemara that way, that it could be Mikana Laban, not the Mafreya. Tosfos who sees Hodat Badin Kameidim Dami like Shaul light, which is that it's not a hachra, it's a mitzius. You're a neman, and you're changing the facts on the ground. He's a very hard time explaining Rav Chista. And if he explains Rav Chista, then he makes the Bayin Rava look a little dochak. So therefore he goes with the other interpretation on that of the Girsa of the Rach.
That's just like it is that it's a hachra. And the Ikar Adin Yibidi should have had to pay also from the past. But in order for people to be molded,
oh, like that? No, I didn't see that explanation. Although Gzeres HaKotuf is the only one that comes close to that. That's interesting, but you think that was like Takanas Chachamim to, like, yeah. Takanas Meirish. It's a nice thought. I didn't see that, but it is a nice idea. Alright, so now, next case in the Gemara. Zeomer Shalabotai. This is a Gemara that we saw back on Lamed Aleph. One of them says it belongs to my father, the other one says it belongs to my father's, meaning that I inherited the land. Hayati Sade Davatehu. This one brings evidence or witnesses that it belongs to his father's. Hayati Sade Da'achlo Shnei Chazaka. And the second one brings Edim that he ate it for the Shnei Chazaka. Again, the exact case we had on Lamed Aleph. Again, the Rashbam interestingly adds over here that the one who has Edim, that it belongs to his father, has Edim that until the day of his death, it belonged to his father. And the Rashbam over here adds Ad Yom Montam, until the day of their death. They're making this claim that it belonged to their forefathers. That he didn't mention in the previous sugya in Lamed Aleph. Now, Rav Chista, Malo L'Shaker. This is the same as the position over there. We had a Machlokes. Rabba said Malo L'Shaker. Along came Abaye and said, Abaye, his Talmud said what? Malo L'Shaker b'makom edim lo amrinan. So again, here, Rav Chista says Malo L'Shaker like Rabba over there. Ibay armalei minach zeminta v'chalte shnei chazaka. I could say I purchased it from you and I ate it shnei chazaka. Right? So he has a migo over here. So now, Abaye Rabba lo svir lehu, right? So Abaye Rabba say they don't hold of Rav Chista. Malu shaker b'makom edim lo amrinan. So Abaye and Rabba, who are both tamidim of Rabba, who before said malu shaker works b'makom edim, right? They come and argue and say no. And Rav Chista, so you have Rabba and Rav Chista both say malu shaker works even in the face of edim. And Abaye and Rabba say that had Chista malu shaker b'makom edim lo amrinan. So we don't say that. So now, truthfully, Abaye and Rava have a good claim, which is, how could you have Malo L'Shaker but Malkom Edim? How can you go up against? You say, I could have said, I would have purchased it, I purchased it from you, and I have Shnei Chazakah. Now, when it comes to a Migo, right, how does a Migo work? There are two possibilities of how a Migo works, and you'll see this in the Rashbam. It's so clear in the Rashbam that he's giving you those two explanations. A Migo, why does a Migo work? One way that a Migo works, and the simplest way to understand Migo is Malo L'Shaker, meaning that you have two ta'anot in front of you. You have two possible claims in front of you. One is better than the other. So what did you do? You took the lesser of the claims. You went with the lesser of the claims. And when you go with the lesser of the claims, we should believe you because you had a better claim, and you didn't take the better claim.
You had a better claim for which you would have been believed.
Believed, right. You had a better claim that would have been emet. So now over here, Malo Lishaker, why should you lie? And we say you're neman. It gives you better nemanut in the tana that you made. In the tana that you made, you are now believed even more strongly because you had an alternative. That's one way to look at Malo Lishaker or Migo. The other possibility of looking at Migo is that you have a better claim. You have a better claim means even though you made the worst claim, you have a better claim, and it's as if you made the better claim. Because you made the worst claim, we're going to believe you here because the better claim is available. If the better claim is available, we're going to say it's as if you made that better claim. Now, why is that true? Right? So there are a number of possibilities. One is that the better claim makes it as if you're muhzak in the davar. The better claim makes it as if you're muhzak. That's what Rav Shimon Shkab says. Rav Shimon Shkab says that the better claim makes you as if you own the item, and that motzi mechaber alav arayat. If you want to remove it, you're going to have to actually bring evidence to that case. The like the Sridi Eish and the Kunzah Sveikot, it suggests that Beis Din are toying b'shvili. Beis Din is toying on your behalf. This better taino, and the Minchas Asher suggests that you don't lose the right to make such a taino. Just because you made the worst taino means you don't lose the right to make a bigger taino. Now, why does that make a difference? Because the difference between these two explanations tells us whether the whole issue here is believability, nemanut. If you say Malo Lishaker is simply about strengthening the taino that you did make, then it's about you need to be believed. Whereas if it's the alternative taina, right, is available to you, and if that is available to you, right, then we say that we're not sholel that alternative. We're not sholel that other taina. We're not sholel that alternative taina. Then basically it's a chrad based in that you get the right to that better taina. Now if you look in the Rashi is explaining, because otherwise how do you explain Rav Chista and Rabba's position, the Malo Lishaker b'Malkumedin? So the Rashi sets up their machlokas as being exactly their difference in understanding of what amigo is. So if you look at Rav Chista Malo Lishaker, he says, Rav Chista Malo Lishaker, towards the narrow lines, the bottom of the narrow lines in the Rashbam, L'zesh yesh lo edei chazaka, b'may detayin shel avotav hi. He has edei chazaka, that it was, right, that it belongs to his father. Ibai havar malei lahai, sheyesh lo edut, right, so if you chazaka, and now I eat it, shnei chazaka. Hilkach, migo demotzi tayin hochi, v'yiske betanazu, and it would work. V'hulo chashash liton, and he didn't worry about doing this. Kitai nami shel avotav, when he says that it is his forefathers, afav gav demachish lehu le'edim, even though that the edim now disagree that it belonged to his forefathers, Nehemin, he is believed. Why? Because the alternative, his alternative over here, right? Even though his taina that it belonged to his forefathers has now been upended. Why? Because you have edim over here saying that it did not belong to his forefathers. It belonged to this other individual. Now he has an alternative taina. What was his alternative taina? So alternative taina would be that I bought it. I purchased it. So if he says that I purchased it, now would he be believed? So now, depends how you view Migo. If you view Migo is that my taina is believed more because I had an alternative. Over here, it doesn't matter how much we believe your taina, there are edim saying that you're not right, that you're telling sheker. The edim are saying that you had, it wasn't your father's, it belonged to the other claimant's father's. So if that's the case, your claim, your taina, is no good. So to make your taina more believable doesn't help you. But if you say that Malo Lishaker is that, we offer you the alternative taina. The alternative taina, just because you didn't make it, doesn't mean that you don't get it. In the basin is machriya pi, like we said before, maybe it's machriya pi of the other taina. It's a vehicle for decision making. In basin, you will not lose your rights to that other taina. In that case, over here, why should you lose your rights to the alternative taina? What's the alternative taina? Is that a vote that I purchased it. Right? So if I purchased it, that alternative taina works and it's not soter the edim. So I haven't lost that taina. So that's Rav Chista's belief. Why do we say migo b'makom edim? Why can you say migo b'makom edim? Because migo is not about believability. Migo is about having alternatives. If you have an alternative taina, you don't give that up. Either you don't give that up, Beis Din will be towing for you, you're mukhsal badavar because of that taina. Whatever it is, you haven't lost that right because it's all about the other taina. It's not about your taina, it's about the alternative taina. Whereas, Abayin Bava clearly holds that Migo is all about the believability of the taina that you made. And the taina that you made is not truthful anymore because of Edim saying that it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't matter that you had another taina that makes it more believable because your taina doesn't work against Edim, and that's what you look in the next Rashbam. Mali shaker be'ei malkum edim lo arminan komar. Kol ta'anash adam tuwein, kagon zeh, shamar shalavotai, v'tar rotzeh l'kaima yidei mali l'shaker, Tana zu macheshet edim, and this taina goes against edim. Ki hochalom heminle. Why? Sharei edim edim shetanato sheker. Your taina is sheker. Veheich tikayimin wa yudei mali l'shaker. So what? If it's sheker, it's better now that it's less of a sheker. I mean, you can't make it more believable if it's not the truth. Halo v'adai m'shaker hu. He's definitely m'shaker. Right? V'chezkad ha-shloshanim in a klum. Davi l'chazak ha-sheni ma-taina. Now you're missing a taina. V'hachi yochus. So that's the halacha. So there, the two understandings of Migo will understand the machlokas between Rav Chista and Abaye, Rav Rabo and Abaye, which is that if Migo is all about the taina that you made, then when you made them against your taina, you can't, doesn't help you. Yeah. If you think, I know, totally.
I feel like Rav Chista is so hard to justify that. I feel like this guy is, I mean, I think Rav Rabo does a fantastic job of explaining Abaye and Rav there, but Rav Chista is so hard to understand that. There's got to be a better explanation for a business position, no?
Right, well, he's saying, it depends how you view Migo. If Migo works about the alternative taina, not about your taina, it's all about the alternative taina, then the alternative taina still stands. So what you're saying is, Abaye Rabbah's position, and I know that you like that position better, but then Nemanus, it's all about Nemanus. If you're Sheker, then there's no Nemanus left anymore. Whereas...
Yeah, listen,
I thought
you were finally together on something.
So that's Hakikil, so that is the luck like that. But Rav Chista's position is that it's not about Nemanus. It's not about Nemanus. Migo has nothing to do with Nemanus. Migo has to do with the fact that there are alternative tainot. And that alternative tainot entitles you to other rights. And those rights still exist, even when they're edim there, because edim didn't take away that alternative tainot. Right? It's important. I just wanted to give you a flavor. Because a lot of the machlokot here that are coming up are really about fundamental issues of how you view Migo, we see here. The Rashbam gives both explanations of Migo. One to explain Rav Chista, one to explain Abaye and Rava. And also, we saw before, by Odat Baldin. The two ways you view Hodat Baldin will affect how the Rashbam views it, whereas how Tosos views it. All right now, the Gemara continues over here, new case. Hod Amarle the Chavre, my bait b'hai aro. What are you doing in my land? Amarle minach zavne v'chalte shnei chazaka. I bought it from you, and I have a chazaka here. I was here for 3 years. Azul aite sade the achla tarte shoni. But he only has edim that he ate it for 2 years. I mean, that he makes a claim, a full-fledged claim, that he bought it, and he had it for 3 years, but he can only find edim that he was there for 2 years. Hamrav Nachman, Hadra Ara, Hadra Peirik. Land goes back, and the Peirik go back. He's missing an essential part. He's either missing a shtar, which he doesn't have, or, if he doesn't want a shtar, he needs 3 years. And that he's missing too. So he has nothing. If he has nothing over here, he's got to hand the land back, but not only does he have to hand the land back, he has to hand back all the Peirik that he ate in the interim. Right? Exactly. He didn't have a right to be there. Amrazvid, im ta'an, v'amar le peirot, yarati ne'aman. This is a totally independent statement. If, in the first place, he said that I was, not that he made a claim on the land, but rather he made a claim that I'm entitled to the peirot here. Why? Because the peirot are, right, I'm an aris. I bought the peirot. Not that I bought the land, but I bought the rights to eat the peirot. Then he is ne'aman. Right? Because a person, we're going to see in a second, why is he neman when it comes to the peirot? And not neman because the karko. So that's what Margaret says. Lav mi amar Rav Yehuda. Didn't Rav Yehuda tell us, hay man denokit magla betovlaya. Person who's walking around with like a sickle, and tovlaya can either be a basket, or a sal, or a chevel, or ropes, to go and cut down, v'amar izel igadre ledikla. I'm going to go and cut down, not the dekel itself, but I'm going to go harvest the dates from this dekel, the planya that belonged to this individual, the zavna niali, and that he purchased from me, mehemen, he is believed. I mean that here, where the other individual is not around, or is not objecting, and this guy is going down to the other person's field and says, listen, I own this, he sold me the fruits on this dekel, I'm going to harvest my fruits now that I purchased. Beis Din doesn't have to stop him, we believe him. Why? Lo chotzif inish the gazar, dikla delav dile. Person doesn't go and harvest someone else's palm tree. It's so mechutzaf, this is what you asked him before, Shaul. It's so brazen that a guy's going to walk into someone's field, cut the fruits down, and take them down. He would not do that unless he really owned them. So he has this, because of this hazat panim, he has a certain amount of believability because he's doing it. So where it says, person will not eat fruits that don't belong. He won't say, I purchased the property for fruits, and they're my fruits. And therefore, I'm going down to eat them. So, therefore, he's Neman. Gemara says, Ihochi, Aranami. Why don't you say the same thing about the land? A person's not mechutzav to say that he bought the land, and it's my land, and it doesn't belong to him. He wouldn't lie about that. Gemara says, Amar Ara Aminanle Achvesh Tarech. By the land, we have a way to verify the situation. Show me the shtag. That's it. Since we have easy verification, we don't have to believe him. We just say, bring me the verification. Gemara says, Ihochi, Peranami. If you, so it's okay if you want to use something to verify, to say the same thing by perot. If you buy the perot, where's the shtar that you bought the perot? So shtar the perot lo avde inshek. People don't write contracts on fruits. When it comes to land, then you write a contract. Comes to eating the fruit or harvesting the fruit. People don't write contracts about that. It's something that is like, you know, bal peh that people do, and therefore we can't make that demand of him in this instance.
The perots are retalfin, right?
So yes. Right. Very good. So that is, that's the big chiluk here. Totsus and the Rashbam, everybody makes this chiluk over here. Now this is only true, Rav Zvid's statement is only true if he's eaten the perot already. If he's eaten the perot already, when he ate the perot, there was no mocheh, and he was Neman. So now if you want to be, you all of a sudden show up and you want to be mocheh, and you want to get the perot from him, amotzi mechavero laveraya, then you're going to have to take him out. But at this point, going from this point forward, if he wants to eat perot, he cannot eat perot. Because then Beis is going to say to him, give us evidence that you belong. Here the other guy is now me'ar'er. He says that you don't belong there. Now you got to bring evidence that you really own the perot. And we're not going to let you eat the perot, right, until you show up with some sort of evidence to that effect. So it does make a difference when you're standing. If it's after the fact, then he keeps the perot. If it's before or prior to the fact, then you have to bring evidence to that effect that that you're actually entitled over here to eat the perot. Now, this all of this right happens to be again before we said by the ara, by the land, that when he has to give the land back, he has to give the perot back with the land. The Rashbam points out that that's only true if there are edim that he ate the perot. They have to be edim that he ate the perot. Because then when they take the land back, the edim say he ate the perot, he has to give them back.
But,
yeah, even according to Rav Nachman. Right. Because if there are no edim that he ate the perot, then he has a migo that he's neman. Right. Since he can say, I never ate the perot, and we have no evidence to the contrary, and the only reason that we know he ate the perot is because he's modeh here, then he could also, since he has a migo over there, he's neman. So the only reason, right, the only reason that he has to give the perot back here is if we have right, edim to the fact that he ate perot while he was on the land. That's according to Rav Nachman's position before. We have to give back the arrow. He has to give back the perot as if we have edim that they actually did eat the perot. If there are no edim to that situation, then we say, listen, you know, the perot don't have to go back because he has amigo that he's neman.
It looks like you might be able to say it more for Rav also, because over here, he's lacking witnesses to establish the third year.
Right.
So therefore, he can't completely substantiate his claim. But it's different. The other case before, if I didn't know the hell, he admitted that it was that it belonged to Ravidi.
So according to the Rashbam explains why. This is not similar to the case before, right? Abayin Rabba, who said before, when you have to go, when he's modeh, he has to give back everything. So over here, he says, the Rashbam says, why does he have to give back perot over here? Why does he have to do that? And again, he says that the cases are different between here and Abayin Rabba is because he says, lo domi lahad Abayin Rabba, the pliga lay the Rav Chisidayel, the hatam came to birira milsa, the Ravidi, karov tvei, or he knows that shein lo chilek bakarka v'perot. Once you establish the Ravidi is the closest relative, then he had no rights to be there. What he took before was not his. Right? Sha'achal shlokadin, aval achal. Va'afilo badat piv, right? L'chayev. And then over there he's going to be. But in our case over here, we can't prove that it's not his, but we can't say that he can keep the karka, but he can't.
He doesn't have enough proof to keep it.
Right.
But really didn't prove that it wasn't his.
Right. So there we don't force him to give back the perot.
Unless there are witnesses that right. Establish that.
In Rav Zvid's position, the Rashbam says that he has to take, first of all, he has to take a Shvuat Hesed. He has to take a Shvuat Hesed that he's entitled to eat the perot, right, that he's Neman. And the Rashbam says that even in the face of Edim, he's believed. Even if the Edim say that he ate the perot and the karka doesn't belong to him, he is entitled to keep the perot because of the principle of Lo Chatzavinish. Right, so the fact is that he did eat the perot. We have Edim to the fact that he ate his perot. He's not believed here because of Amigo. He's believed here because b'mechutz of inish to go down and eat perot. And that mechutz of inish is not based on amigo. It's not based on the fact that we don't have edim to the effect. Even with edim that he ate the perot, he'll be believed because of this b'mechutz of inish. But once edim show up, or from this point forward, again, we said before that he cannot go ahead and eat perot. All right, finish up here. So he says, the Gemara says, how would Amar Lechavrei, my bait b'hayara, what are you doing in my land? Amalei, minach zavintna v'achatei shnei chazaka. I bought it from you, and I ate it shnei chazaka. So he brings one witness that he ate it for 3 years. So Rabbanan thought this is the case of Nasko de Rabbi Abba. We'll read the case of Nasko de Rabbi Abba and then we'll stop because the whole explanation of this will take us all the way through tomorrow's small amud. How gavra de chataf Nasko de chavre? A person grabbed a piece of metal, right, or a coin, some sort of unformed coin from his friend. Atal kamei de Rabbi Abba. I mean, he came before Rabbi Abba. Abba yoti Rabbi Abba kamei, and Rabbi Abba was there. Aiti chatzata de michtav chat faminei. Brings one witness that he actually did grab it from him. That he took, he grabbed at his hand. So I'm alive. So what does the individual say? The plaintiff says, the defendant says, in chatfi, I did, I agree. But did they chatfi? But it was mine, and I took it was mine. So that's what he suggests over here, that the same case. We'll see in a second, Gemara, why the comparison and why the Gemara rejects that comparison, but that's tomorrow's step. We'll step over here.